This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, listen, Steph Curry was on the station earlier today. He was on with Steiny and Goo.
Did you say Steve Curry?
No. There's Steph.
Oh, I've heard of him.
In Curry. Stephen Curry.
Man.
Okay? Steph Curry was on the show with Steiny and Goo earlier today. If you miss that, because you're like one of these people who like works or something like that.
Boy, that's awkward.
Yeah. If you got a job and you missed it, or you went to a lunch with a friend or whatever, we're going to play the whole thing for you here in 15 minutes. Steph Curry on the radio in 15 minutes. Do not miss, okay? But let's go to the phones right now. Nick in Berkeley. Hi, Nick. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's up, you guys? Hey, don't you mean the GOAT was on earlier? Steph Curry is the GOAT.
I'm comfortable with it. I'm comfortable with it, Nick.
Okay, hey, so I'm wondering why this dude, he's another forehand, Zachary. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. This dude been around 20 years, dude. What is he, like Jed York's babysitter? Like, you think, I mean, dude, we have a GM, we have a head coach. Why do we need you to sit there and monitor every contract like some teacher or something, bro? Like, I don't get it, man. It's disrespectful. Like, I guess Jed, his daddy don't trust him. It's obvious his daddy's still running the team because we still be doing dumb things like rushing McCaffrey back. And then we got Mason, who's the third leading rusher. We take him out and put him back on the bench all of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, it's crazy. Galindo knocking off 15-yard chunks, but you want to rush McCaffrey back and then you get him hurt, man. It's like, and then, you know, same with Greenlaw. You know what I mean? Those type of players, you got to protect them from themselves, man. I just don't get it. I'm like, where's Tyreek Hill?
So, Nick, who are you mad at? Are you mad at Parag or Kyle? Who are you upset with?
I'm mad at Parag. I'm mad at Kyle for being so obtuse at times. Like, he doesn't seem to take responsibility. It's always about, you know, just shifting blame somewhere else. All these trades, like, I don't even know what it all adds up to. But it's like, man, who is making all these deals, you know? And then all of a sudden, who's mad about the deals being made? So now this dude, far, whatever his name is, coming back to monitor the situation. It's insulting, man. Go run your soccer team somewhere, bro. That's what you do.
Nick, you know? Nick, thanks. So he's
you can go ahead and rack him.
Comparing Parag Mrate to Farhan Zaidi, I think is a tough. That's a tough angle to take when the Niners right. for a 4-year stretch were the number 2 cash spending team in the entire NFL.
Damn it, Farhan. Agreed, and I do think that both are marching to the beat of their own drummers.
Completely.
And, like, Farhan is doing what he does because his owner says we want to break even. And I do think that Parag is now doing deals differently because of what you said. They've laid out a lot of cash, and a lot of the deals they did last year looked like losses. And so now the team, either Jed or Jed's parents, and I do believe that this comes from Denise and John York and Denise DeBartolo York, who I was doing the homework, and they own collectively 97% of the team.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody's got the voice at the table. Like, that's the other thing.
Right,
I mean, Parag's
right.
role with the Niners is nothing like Farhan's role with the Giants. Farhan had a lot more, like, leadership say. Parag is right. not doing anything on his own. He's the lead negotiator.
Exactly.
But he's given walking orders of what they're going to do financially. And then his job is to go get the best deal. And if you really want to look at like contract structure, and this goes into the weeds, and I don't want to try to explain it because I'm not even that good at it.
Right.
But the bottom line is the Niners' reputation around the league for giving themselves flexibility is a pretty good reputation.
It is, but a lot of that's been built on what you were just saying, which is laying out cash. And so when you lay out cash to players, and then, for example, Deebo Samuel, you gave him cash up front in a restructure, and then he plays a year or so, and then you decide, well, you don't want the player anymore, you do have to take a cap hit, and that may affect the way you want to go out laying out additional cash. And I do wonder about the Brock Purdy contract and how they're going to go about structuring it, because it feels like they're less interested right now in this moment in paying a lot of cash in bonuses and upfront money. But if you're Brock, that's kind of what you want.
Yeah,
that's the guaranteed,
like,
cheddar.
I would predict that, and you know, the number will be whatever the number is in terms of years. I would predict that what your guarantee is going to be is going to cover basically 3 years or less. I think the Niners will come with the money for Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy is going to be the quarterback of the Niners. I think there'll be a deal in 2 months or less. But I think what you're not going to see a 5-year extension with 4 years guaranteed. I think the Niners will build themselves an out.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's what they do, and they tend to do it very, very well. Look, here's sort of where I've landed, because we're not at Thursday yet, which is the day that I said that I'd start to get uncomfortable if I go to bed and nothing has happened. And some things have happened, but they're on the small end, obviously. I do not think the 49ers are being cheap. That's not a thing in my mind. I know a lot of fans want to go there. The 49ers have not been cheap for a long time, and I don't think that's what they're doing right now. I think they are trimming fat. I think they are trying to reboot. Absolutely. There are comps to this. Albert Breer said this is exactly what the Bills did last year. The Bills were still great, almost made the Super Bowl. So I don't think the 49ers are being cheap. I think they're being a little cutthroat. And I'm not here to tell you that this week hasn't been concerning. I think you get to have some concerns. I just don't think that's the right one. I don't think the 49ers are being cheap. I think they are, if you want to use the word reboot, I'm comfortable with that. I look at it more in the X's and O's, and I am very curious right now who's starting on the defensive line.
Oh, yeah.
I am very curious. Like, if you want to tell me that D. Winters is going to take over Dre Greenlaw's role, I'm listening.
Yeah, and I think they still have Bethune as well.
And they've got a draft.
Yeah.
And you will have to find some starters in the draft. I don't know about 6 or 7 of them, though, for crying out loud. Like, I really don't know who is starting next to Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
And I think about the last Super Bowl year where you talk about their defensive line and they had like 7 or 8 players that you could rotate through. And I know that Cleland Furl was one of them, and he might be a guy who actually comes back.
Sure.
Who he can set the edge in the run game. And if you go back to that team, they had a lot of guys that they would rotate through. And I do think that that's the model that will work. And TJ Houshmandzadeh, who joined us last hour, was raving about Robert Saleh and what he does defensively. And part of that is all gas, no breaks, and it's also a rotation up front in the D-line. So I think you're going to see a lot of those additions. And I'm also interested to see offensively, from a scheme standpoint, what they do. And assuming they keep McCaffrey, and I'm kind of hot-taking when I say they need to trade him, but it's a possibility, and people are talking about trading Ayuk as well.
I mean, we have heard from some who are close enough to the organization that the Niners are sort of in the same spot the Warriors were when it was like, dude, they'll listen to an offer on anyone. Anyone.
Right. Except Steph.
Except Steph. And I think the 49ers would probably say the same thing. They'd probably give you a handful of people.
Yeah, Brock and Fred
Brock
and George.
And George. Sure.
Yeah, and
absolutely.
Nick.
Yeah. Yeah. They'd probably listen on anybody outside of those four.
Mm-hmm.
How about Gene in Oakland? Hey, Gene, what
Early
are you doing?
For Gene.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, fellas. You know what? I really think this is a reboot, but it may be getting close to a rebuild.
I mean, look what they're doing. They're getting rid of talented players. As I understand, these guys commanded or got a total of over $100 million as soon as we let them go.
Way more than
that. Yeah, more than that. Anyways, CMC, you know, I have a feeling they may even be, you know, out there testing the market on him. I mean, if they can get a second or third round draft pick, I have a feeling he's gone. And this, I know it's going to shock you when I say this, but, well, first of all, I mean, I think the suits basically are taking over from the coaches, because I think the coaches had, you know, they had the call last year because, you know, they said, listen, we're that close to winning a Super Bowl. Let's go all in, and they convinced the owner to do so. But that didn't work out, and now we see ourselves so far behind Philly that I'm sure nobody's thinking in terms of Super Bowl this year. So I'm wondering if, even when it comes to Purdy, whether they might say, hey, you know what, if this guy demands $50 to $60 million, maybe they will actually draw a line in the sand and say, no, no deal. So anyways, my thoughts.
Yeah, thanks, Gene. Appreciate it.
I mean, that would be dramatic.
It would be very dramatic. I doubt it, although the 49ers always draw some sort of a line in the sand. I don't know what Purdy and his agent are asking for. I'm sure that they're like, yes, there's always a way that a negotiation can go bad. We've seen it. I doubt that it would happen here. I also reject, and again, this isn't me calling him a favorite or loving them right now because I don't know who's on the roster, but I would be very surprised if what Gene said is true, that the 49ers inside the building right now are like, yeah, we're not winning this year.
No, I don't
think they're thinking that way at all.
It's not a rebuild. I don't even know if it's a reboot. It might be a retool, which for me is the lesser of those three. A rebuild would be we're trading Brock, we're trading Bosa, we're trading anybody who we can get value for. Yeah. We're going to get all the firsts we can. We're going to stink and load up for 2026. This, to me, feels like a little bit of a retool.
We're sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport and want to remind you again that tomorrow in the 5 o'clock hour, we're giving away what we're calling the Best Seat in the House package for two people at Splash Thrive City Sports Bar, beautiful, brand new, right outside Chase Center, and that's to celebrate next Thursday. We'll do it this Thursday to celebrate next Thursday, March 20th, first day of the college basketball championship. The Best Seat in the House package includes prime location, second floor splash, overlooking the gigantic video board, which of course will have the games. Plus, don't forget the food. You'll get two appetizers, four entrees, and a dessert. All you need to know right now, we'll tell you everything you need to know tomorrow. Just be here. 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win. Also, coming up next, your chance to hear Steph Curry join 95.7 The Game. That is next on Willard and Dibbs.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
It's okay, Steph. We'll pronounce your name right because you're the GOAT, okay? Steph Curry joined Steiny and Goo earlier today. Dibs, we're about to be an absolute feast for the soul of a Hoops Nick.
Yeah.
Okay. It is 4:19 in the afternoon on a Warrior Wednesday.
You could round up. It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
It is almost 4:20. That was a long one. On a Warriors Wednesday.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game. And I want you to listen to what's about to happen here.
Okay. How high are you right now?
I'm high, bro.
Yeah, exactly, bro.
Yeah.
Like, even, in fact, the next 24 hours, the Kings are in town tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Which is adorable. It is.
Is it BYOB? Bring your own beam?
I was trying to think of a king whose last name started with a B. Anybody? Anybody?
Balik Bunk, am I right?
Okay.
It's a little unfair.
Anyway.
Whatever.
Anyway.
Mike Brown, the head. Never mind.
No, Ramona Shelburne's going to be on the show in 25 minutes.
Momo!
Pretty much until then, you're going to be listening to the sweet sounds of the chef. Steph Curry on the River Islands guest line, joining Steiny and Goo earlier today. Yeah, the one and only Steph Curry joining Steiny and Goo earlier today at Chase Center. Here it is.
Number 30.
There he is.
He's entering the building. Steph Curry.
Yes, sir.
Steph, how you doing, man? Good to see you. What's going on? Thank you so much for joining us. And how's it going, man?
It's going great. Just finished a great professional practice.
What's happening?
Just discipline, detail, short and sweet. And we're trying to keep the vibes going. Wins are nice, but you still know we're still trying to get better, put things together. And welcome JK back tomorrow. Should be fun.
I mean, is it fair to say what we've all seen is real, that Jimmy getting here has energized you and Draymond and the whole team and has made you more of a believer that you could do something special this year?
That's what the trade signified when we did it, and you still have uncertainty whether it's going to work or not, but it puts everybody on edge. It gives you a sense of urgency to, figure out what it looks like on the court on both ends. And I think from the jump, obviously our record shows the new life that we have and how good Jimmy is and how good of a fit it is. But I think we're patient enough to know we have a long way to go. And so the building blocks from where we were pre-trade to where we are now, I like where we're at. I think we're all, like you said, energized and rejuvenated and optimistic that we can compete with anybody. But you know, we have whatever, 18, 19 games left. We just want to solidify a playoff series. That's it.
Right. The chef, Steph, just, I'm so happy for you and the fans and the team, because I remember you at the one of the post-game press conferences, and you're my barometer. I was like, man, it kind of despondent. We ain't built to come back. But walk us through where you were at when you got the news that Jimmy was coming to town and your thoughts.
That was a wild whirlwind of a day. We were about to play Utah, and rumors, talks, conversations, what ifs, and then it happens. So first you're upset because you're losing guys that you went right to war with, you know, Wiggs especially, who helped us win a championship and saw him flourish for the whatever 5 years he was here. Dennis, Kyle, Lindy, seeing them guys go who were a big part of early in the year. And then you think about the future. Yeah, we're excited that Jimmy was here. We were, you know, again, understanding of who he was as a superstar, and the idea that he plays basketball a very similar way, trying to, as he would say, make the right play. But he demands a presence, and it's a guy that you have to worry about out there on the floor. And you can see it's helped me and Draymond, but I think overall it's helped everybody else more, because he makes guys around him better, and he does it really naturally.
Well, when you first heard either his name brought up for the first time, there was some, you know, stuff out there that the Warriors are maybe a little concerned with Butler's presence in the locker room, and, you know, this is a team that's been together for a while, or at least its core. Did you have any of those, or that's just stuff from the outside that you don't pay attention to?
There's noise everywhere.
You told us you hear everything.
I hear everything. You try to filter through everything, too, to know what's real and what's not. I talked to Draymond. I talked to Mike Dunleavy, who was his vet in Chicago back in the day, and they spoke so highly of who Jimmy was. When the family feuds, it's obviously tough, and I know him and Miami have, you know, had a history of winning, and also didn't end the way that they wanted to, but when we talked to and understood Jimmy was going to be here, it was just about, you know, showing up, being a professional. He's motivated to win, and that's everything that I heard. And when you get locked in, Jimmy, it's the absolute best, and it's our job collectively to keep that energy going.
You guys just went on a road trip, and you were in Brooklyn, Steph, and the Brooklyn fans were chanting MVP. Just, I know you didn't heard it all, but just walk us through that. When you're in enemy territory, MVP, and they're talking about the visitor.
I like that because it means you're winning. You don't get the MVP chance if you're down 20 on the road. So there's just a big idea of, you know, Dub Nation travels. Like, we've had a really good presence in a lot of different, you know, arenas, and when you're winning and the vibes are good, like, you appreciate those environments, because that's the thing. Talking to any ex-pro who's played in this league, I don't care if you're a star or whatever, you miss that adrenaline rush, that not only the competition on the court, but, you know, the fan interaction and engagement, like, that all matters, and it means something. And so I definitely appreciate it.
I mean, we all see what kind of Jimmy's done on the court. Are you surprised he's been able to cure your bilateral tendonitis?
I was worried, Steph, early.
Nah, it's still there.
How are you feeling? My way of saying that.
I feel good. Like, I think the idea is I've learned my body this year more than I have, you know, had to in previous years. And obviously, the ankle injuries early in my career, coming off the hand surgery, whatever, 5-6 years ago, into what this year was. So I've learned my body, learned what it needs to do to get right. Over the last 2 months, I've been able to kind of commit to that process. And it helps, obviously, to have another guy where the load isn't as demanding,
right,
physically and emotionally every single game. Doesn't mean that I'm not approaching it the same way, but it feels different. And like I said, when you're out there, the way that we've handled the minutes when I'm off the court, and Jimmy's been able to run the show, and guys are, Moses is playing great. BP, when he was healthy, was playing great. We still don't even have JK back. Like, when the vibe and everything on the court, it does help, because you're not carrying that load. So, it's been an interesting year all the way around, for sure.
Let me ask you this, because I know as much as you can share with us. 2022, you shocked the world. Nobody saw the Warriors winning it. You guys got off to that great start. This season starts, and like, I don't know, and then you make the trade. But, Steph, I told Stani and the listeners, I mean, you're as frisky as all outdoors. You got a pep in your step. Do you think about number 5? Can you taste it? Do you feel something?
We talked about it. Somebody asked me this summer, like, what are you still playing for? That's literally the only thing you're playing for. And when you feel far away from it because you don't have a consistent, you're not rewarded consistently with wins on a nightly basis, or there's growing pains with a team, it does kind of, you know, knock at your confidence and your ability to imagine what it's like to be, you know, a relevant contender. And like I said, I like where we're at right now. I think we have what it takes to do it, but I'm not fast forwarding to saying, oh, we're a championship team right now, because we have another level to get to before we get to a playoff type environment. And I'm excited about that challenge. All I wanted to be is in the fight. All I wanted was a chance. All I wanted was an ability to look across the Western Conference and say, yeah, we can go toe-to-toe with whoever. And I feel like we're knocking on that door.
Steph Curry joining us, courtesy of the River Islands guest line on 95.7 The Game. Guru and Steiny here at Chase Center. Warriors just finished up practice. Where did Night Night come from? We all want to know.
Denver game 3 in 2022. Me and Andre, there was one possession right before I made a layup down the stretch, like less than a minute left. He was up on the sideline. He was barking at everybody, and I was like, no, I got this. I'm going to put him to sleep right now. And I said that to him. It just mouthed it. I didn't do the sign or nothing. And I made the layup, and I did like a little quick, or the first quick night-night, and then it kind of just evolved from there. So it's been a whirlwind, just seeing how many people have kind of attached to it in other sports and you know, signifying like, yo, the job is done. So even seeing fans start to like encourage, like, oh, I need a night tonight. And it's like, well, we got 48 minutes to play first. Y'all too demanding.
Now I'm looking at you. You're in phenomenal shape, and your buddy LeBron James gets a lot of credit for his physique and his fitness at his age. But Steph, I feel like you get slighted. I'm looking at you. How long can you play? Because right now you just got a bounce in your step, man.
I don't know. I've tried to answer that question before, and I've said a lot of different things just based on how I feel that day. But I think, you know, it's all kind of measured on what the style of can I get to that level that I expect from myself. It's not really attached to like points per game or stats thing. It's just a feeling like, can I dominate a game? Can I play my style for 30 plus minutes? And then you kind of reevaluate every year. So I know how my contract's lined up, and I'd like to outplay that for sure. How long that goes, I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I would like, you look at a guy like Tim Duncan, and he just kind of wound down into a real good role player. I think it's different for guards, and I'm like, that's one thing I've been curious about is if you look at what your role may become over the years, or you think to yourself, I'm going to be Steph Curry in 2 or 3 years, I'm going to be the same guy, or will you eventually make some kind of adjustment?
No, I think it's just a matter of having clarity on to be able to answer that question and know, like, nobody wants to be naive to think, oh, I'm still that guy, and you're not, and you have a system built around you, and you have expectations built around, you know, that type of team. To that point, we're not there. What it looks like down the road, I'll figure that out. But I love the game, and I think the fact that I still show up and still have as much fun as I do every single night, that to me is the blessing and the beauty of where I'm at, about to turn 37. Just like I feel the exact same like a kid when I'm out there playing. It does take me a little longer to get there, you know, the pre-warm-up stuff and the recovery days and all that, but I still can get there.
Well, like, let me throw it to you this way. Like, down the line, could you ever see yourself coming off the bench?
I mean, maybe. Yeah, maybe. I think everything's on the table. To the question of defining, like, how long do I want to play? What is it going to take for me to do that? I'll answer those questions, but I'm open to anything. If it means I can win, nobody wants to just be around just existing. If it means I can win, I'd approach it anyway.
Talk to us about how proud you were, because I am of the Bay Area. You hosted some parties for the All-Star Game. And, Steph, I do got to ask you one personal question. Why no three-point contest?
I've been there, done that.
Yeah, man. I got this hat down.
Nah, we were trying to get the me and Sabrina part two back, and it just didn't work out. I think we'll come back to that at some point. I know it's not in the Bay, but to have Draymond Moses and the Skills join, for me to show up at All-Star Game and get the MVP, it was a good ending to the weekend. I was super proud of the entire Bay Area, man, just because of the way that it showed up, representing the history of basketball culture here. Everybody who came said they had an amazing time. They saw the Bay in a different light, and I love the experience. So yeah, it was fun.
You guys really think you can win it?
Absolutely. That's why we're juiced to be in this position. I mean, how many teams think they can win it right now? Probably, what, 8 to 10?
I'd say 8. Maybe. How many 8-ish? Have won it 4 times?
You know what I'm saying? There's 8 to 10 teams every year, 6 to 8, 10 teams every year that think that they can win it. If you want to be in that category, does it mean it's going to happen? You know, we'll see. But I like the idea that we can confidently say on a night to night, we can figure out how to beat anybody.
Let me ask you this. Like, why, if you were to win it all, what would be the reason you'd win it all? And then what would be the reason that would get you beat?
There are some really good teams out there. You could look at Boston, Cleveland, OKC, Denver, the records teams that have, three of those teams who have won it before. So you think about experience, but for us, we have that experience on our side. We have a good balance of veteran presence, youthful energy. I think the fact that since the trade, our roles have been clearly defined. Our rotation's pretty consistent from a night-to-night perspective. It might get a little tighter as you get closer to playoffs, but you know, having your 9-10 guys that you know are going to play, you know, the bulk of the minutes, who's going to be out there on the floor, that clarity's given us a lot of confidence. But at the end of the day, you know, me, Draymond, Jimmy, we've all been around. We know what it's like to be in a playoff series, to have to figure out that specific opponent and how to beat him 4 times. And like I said, if you get us in that scenario, we like our chances. So
I shouldn't take the field this year?
Was this the same room we were in? No, we were maybe it's a different room.
The year I took the field, that was the Lakers year. It the year before.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do that? That wasn't the same year?
Yeah.
I messed up.
It was coming off a championship.
I got you.
Steph,
I'll let you put the odds out there. We'll do our stuff.
They just got a lot better, I'll tell you that. Man, I am so excited about the rest of this season in the playoffs, but to appreciate the good, I'm one of them. You got to remember the bad. But Steph, how much did you pay attention to last year when you guys didn't make it, lost to the Kings? Like, how much did that fuel you to where you're at now? Because I ain't gotten over it.
Well, personally, I had plenty of time to sit on my couch, watch the playoffs, get ready for the Olympics.
So you do watch?
Oh, yeah, I watch. I watch a lot. But I was getting ready for the Olympics last summer and was motivated to get back into high-stakes basketball. And then, obviously, that played out great. This year, we got off to a great start and then, you know, hit a lot of challenges. And at the end of the day, like, you just appreciate, because of being 16 years in the league and how many times we've done this and being with one franchise and trying to recreate this, with another iteration of this team, like, all of that stuff just brings out the best in you. And so, you think about that, you got to appreciate the down. Like, even before 22, we were so far away from the mountaintop and figured out a way to climb back to it. And, for us to even just have a consideration like, oh, we're in six, like, we jumped 5 spots in 3 weeks up the conference standings, like, that, who would have thought that 3 weeks ago? So I like where we're at. We just got to stay present, man. That everybody's going to, as they should, compare us to what it looks like to hang another banner. But we know what it takes to take our time and take the baby steps to get there.
Is it, like, physically, I mean, you're going to be 37. Jimmy's up there. Draymond's up there. There's never been a team with 3 core players of your age. The Bulls with Jordan and Rodman had Ron Harper, but Scottie was a little younger. I mean, do you think about where you're at in your career and how unbelievable this would be?
I think about it all the time. I even think about how unbelievable it's been to be where we're at right now. So you just kind of recreate that that confidence and that internal belief. Like, even the fact that I'm, most people didn't think I'd still be playing at this level at the age that I'm at. So we defy odds consistently. So why not do it again?
So we heard you got a new job, assistant GM at Davidson. Talk to us, Steph.
It's a pretty cool opportunity with myself, Aisha, the Berman family, alumni from Davidson. This eight-figure pledge that we've committed to both the men's and women's basketball teams. I know it's a very competitive landscape in college basketball right now, but the experience that I had at Davidson and the ability to commit to a program and be there 4 years and understand what it's like to represent the Wildcat program, for me, I wanted to make sure we had that a competitive advantage and be a resource. So I'm excited about the opportunity. We just got a big win in the A-10 today against Richmond.
Nice.
Shout out to Kenny Atkinson. But yeah, it's about just supporting my alma mater, who I want to recreate that experience that I had, that I've benefited from, the teammates that I got to play for. Coach McKillop, Coach Bob McKillop has established an unbelievable program. Matt McKillop, now the head coach. So we're in it for the long run.
All right. Well, we just wanted to say happy birthday to you. We know,
appreciate it, fellas.
Did
you bring your jersey?
No, but I brought something for you.
Oh my gosh!
All right, so for those of you that don't know, Steph and I go way back to 2000 and what was it,
nine?
When Steven Jackson said, "Get me out of here," and Monte said that he couldn't play with you, Steph was nice enough to gift me an autographed jersey on my 60th birthday. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I was a little Division III player, so I decided to return the favor, and I played for the Franklin and Marshall Diplomats.
Look, the Diplomats. Yeah. Look at that.
And I figured I'd sign one for you.
Yes.
And it's to Steph. From a true point guard,
yeah.
Matt Steinmetz, because I only average about 11. I was pass first, but want to say happy birthday to you, and I felt like I had to return the favor.
I'm happy to be a part of the Diplomat family for a day.
Another small school.
Y'all had like a chant or something?
The fact that we got Diplomats as a nickname, that brings enough grief onto it, but it's a great Division III academic school in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
That's strong. You got the same colors as my high school, so we're cool. We'll take that.
Sweet, man. Well, happy birthday. Keep it going. Right. Best of luck to you, as always.
Good luck, man.
And, appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
All right.
The Chef.
That's so good.
Steph Curry right here on 95.7 The Game.
So good. Yeah, and, he calls Steiny out, like, did you bring your jersey? In other words, the jersey that he gave Steiny, and then Steiny, no, but I got something for you. And you could see Steph like, oh, boy. Like, that kind of got turned on the Chef. The Chef! got turned on him a little bit now. And he caught him off guard. And I thought that was a cool moment, man. Where... Steiny gives him a signed jersey of his own.
I mean,
pretty awesome.
A lot of good moments in there. He's totally focused on number five. He wants to play beyond his contract, which has got a couple more years.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fascinating little nugget for sure. Lot to react to there. We will. Ramona Shelburne's going to join us in about 6 or 7 minutes. I want to squeeze in Rich and Fremont here as well. Hey, Rich, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I just want to say that interview was amazing, and the guys did a fantastic job.
Yes, sir.
And, we have been spoiled here in the Bay, no question about it. I mean, Steph has just brought, really just a very competitive edge to basketball, NBA basketball here in the Bay, and we're all enjoying it. It's his world. We're just all living in it. And really, I want to say to Mark Willard, you were spot on when you said that Steph Curry doesn't care about the odds. That is absolutely spot on. And what does that say to us as people? I get up every day and go to work and give my best shot. Some days they're good, some days they're not. But I don't stop getting up. And so what does that mean? I don't care about the odds. I'm trying to make sure my family has what it needs, and Steph's doing that. And anybody listening to me right now, continue doing what you're doing to make sure you strive. Because life is beautiful, but it's only beautiful if we see the importance of living it. Thanks, fellas.
Hey, Rich, that's some real stuff right there. I really appreciate that, and it's something I honestly do think about a lot when we talk so much about odds, and I don't just mean betting at all, but odds in sports. The athletes you're watching have already busted the craziest odds possible in life.
Think about it, yeah.
Craziest odds.
If you think about, like, how many human beings play youth basketball in this country,
right,
and forget the rest of the world because I don't know those numbers, but then you whittle it to high school, then high school varsity, then any college. Like, Steiny's a great example. He was a D3 member of his school's all-decade team, great player in the 80s, but couldn't sniff the NBA and probably couldn't make a D1 team. He said it himself. Yep. And you whittle it all the way up to the 15 times 30 guys who make an NBA team, 450 humans, of whom about 300 get to play, of which you've got about, 10 who are the best in the game, and yep, we happen to have one guy who is among the 10 best to ever do it. How lucky are we to see this?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Of all the odds breakers, he's probably the odds breaker of all the odds breakers.
The odds breaker
risk. Yeah, he's the only one on that list who's not 6'6 or higher.
Yeah.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Ramona Shelburne, one of the biggest voices in the sport, is going to join us next on Willard and Dibs.
Willard and Dibs.
Oh, just determined to get me aggregated, huh?
Yep. Yep.
You know what my Twitter feed will look like if I answer your question?
On 95.7 The Game.
They're about to try again, too.
Yeah.
Good, try again. Moments away from Ramona Shelburne saying that Jonathan Kuminga won't fit into this Warriors lineup ever again.
That'll go national.
Yep, it will.
Yep. Let's do this, Ramona.
Let's do it. Let's do it right now. Willard and Dibs, glad you're with us. We'll get back to your phone calls in the 5 o'clock hour for sure, but joining us now, one of our favorites, River Island's guest line, all over the NBA on ESPN, Ramona Shelburne. Hi, Momo. How we doing?
I did tell you they were going to get Jimmy Butler, didn't I?
You did. You did. Well, you told me a year ago they were going to get somebody big.
And, yeah, they've been star hunting for a while, but I had a feeling about the Jimmy Butler thing right when they first started looking. You know, there was a game in there, but basically Miami came through town, right? And it was one of the Warriors' worst losses of the season. Remember that game?
Absolutely.
It was one of the Warriors' worst losses of the season. And I was like, no, this is about to go. They're going to have to do something. I think it's worked better than anybody would have thought. Haven't you?
Absolutely. But you know what's interesting about what you're saying? If it was kind of destined to happen, then but what about the Durant thing that seemingly almost got in the way of it?
I don't think it would have been in the way. I think there was there was a way that they could have done a few different things, right? Not necessarily in the way, okay? I mean, I still think there was talk of revisiting Durant, and there was talk of revisiting LeBron. LeBron kind of sent word that wasn't what he was looking for, and so that didn't go anywhere again. But, you know, that they were big game hunting, right? Like they were needing to get another star there. And I think they actually got the right one. Like, now that we look back on it and with the lens of he's been great for them and he's given this defensive edge and this confidence and swagger that they had sorely lacked, like, you kind of can't picture any other way it could have gone. Like, I think the Jimmy experiment has worked out so far better than any Kevin Durant experiment. And I say that with all due respect to Kevin Durant, but that would have been a circus. That wouldn't have been good for anybody.
Right, and I don't know how it would have gone better than this has gone, and
right,
they've won virtually every game but one that he's played. But when you talk about it not getting in the way, could you have seen a path where they could have done more than one big thing if they would have gotten Kevin Durant? Could they still have maybe had a path to get Jimmy Butler as well?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the timing of everything. So, like, you know, obviously you knew they were in on Zach LaVine, right? That was something they were looking at. Vucevic was something they were looking at. Durant, I think there was a little talk of can we revisit the LeBron discussions from last year? And then obviously Jimmy. And it was just a question of what do you prefer and what can you get done? So those two questions are, you think that what do you prefer comes first and what can you get done comes next, but in the end, I think it became what can you get done, because I think there would have been a way to get two of those players I named. I mean, they had deals in place where they could have done a couple of things, but I think they made the right choice. You know, like, I think any other move they would have had to do would have broken up too much of the existing core. And those are important players for this team.
They've barely lost a basketball game since it happened. So it seems to be a pretty good choice. Ramona Shelburne, ESPN, with us. You did a big piece on Jimmy Butler before the deadline. And so with that kind of a deep dive, I wonder what you learned about him and his situation that maybe you can then apply to why it's worked so well with Golden State.
Okay. So when I wrote the first one, I wrote two or three of these. I don't know. They all blend together at this point. It was such a crazy trade deadline. But it was, when I did the first one, I spent a lot of time talking about Heat culture. And when Jimmy was at his best for the Heat, there was this sense that there was a, if you look at a Venn diagram, okay, where does Jimmy world overlap with Heat culture? And it seemed like a pretty strong overlap, right? Like, the things that Jimmy is into are the things that Pat Riley is into. And they seem like a really nice blend of, if you want to call them cultures or brands or ways of doing the corporate culture, okay? But one of the things that I thought was really interesting was, everybody I talked to, not just in Miami, but, you know, close to Jimmy, et cetera, pointed out one thing, which is that a lot of the people who talk about Heat culture, so the Dwayne Wades or Udonis Haslam, those guys, they were drafted by the Heat. Like, they came into the NBA right out of college, and the Heat culture became like how they became a professional. It became part of them. Whereas Jimmy was 30 when he went to the Heat, and he already had become a very successful player in his own right. And he had become he's an incredible worker, you guys. Like, I don't know if you follow him on Instagram or if you follow, you know, his background. I've done a few stories on him over the years. And the guy's like up at 4:30 in the morning, you know, getting, you know, he's like one of his best friends and mentors is like Mark Wahlberg.
Wow. Okay? No.
I don't know if you follow Mark Wahlberg. Okay. But like, Mark Wahlberg is always tweeting, you know, like, at 4:30, hey, look, 4 a.m. club, 4 a.m., you know, like, the guy's amazing. And Jimmy, he did an interview once, and I, you know, because I was doing deep dives, I was watching all these interviews and stuff. And he said, the reason I love Mark Wahlberg so much is that he has everything, but he works like he has nothing. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty deep. Okay. And when you understand Jimmy, you're like, okay, there was an intersection between the two cultures, between Heat culture and Jimmy culture, for a long time. But Jimmy also can do Jimmy without Heat culture. He doesn't need that to be who he is. And I think at some point they just kind of went on different paths. Like, it was, you know, he was grown, and he didn't like being told what to do or how to do it or when to show up, or, you know, et cetera. And I think the reason why it works so well in Golden State is, like, Steve Kerr's whole thing is be you. We're going to let you do you. Like, get, you know, they have a saying, like, get what you need. Like, they have off days, and they tell the veterans, okay, it's a get what you need day. So we're going to trust that you know what you need, and that if you need that, you're going to come in and do it, and you're not going to be lazy. And if what you need is 3 hours at home with your family, go do that. If what you need is to go to a movie, go do that. If you need some extra cardio, go do that. And we're going to trust that you know that. And I think that's so refreshing for a guy like Jimmy, who, like, you don't need to push him. You don't need to give him a conditioning test. You don't need to check his body fat. Like, he's there. Like, he doesn't need anything extra or anyone telling him what to do. And I think that's why it works so well with the Warriors, where they're just going to trust him.
Is it also because they don't have triggers that have previously set him off? And I'm thinking about Minnesota, where it was maybe a younger, softer team, and then Miami, where he didn't get his money. And now in Golden State, you've got veterans who are hardened and grizzled and champions, and he got an extension. Does this clear any possible hurdle, at least in the short term, from Jimmy doing Jimmy things?
Do you have kids?
I have, three kids, two in their 20s and a baby.
Okay, and so, when you have your kids, like, you can be like parent of the year, right? You can do all these things. You're like, man, that works so well.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And then the next day, like, it's just temper tantrum. They're just upset. This, whatever. Like, I find, like, it's not anything you did. It's like, oh, he was just hungry. Okay. That's why he acted that way. Like, I think with Jimmy, like, because this has happened now in three or four or five different places, like, you'd be foolish to expect that everything's just going to be perfect for these 3 years, right? When you, I mean, I think something is probably going to go askance at some point, but for right now, and really because this is a short-term situation, yeah, I think it'll be good for a while. Maybe this year, hopefully you get all the way through next year with everybody in good spirits and good whatever, but like, you know, I mean, it didn't end well in Chicago. It didn't end well in Philly. It didn't end well in Miami. It didn't end well in Minnesota. So probably not going to end well with the Warriors, but the question is when. So.
Yeah, and thank you. Thank you for askance, by the way. I needed some askance. Everyone goes with astray or askew, but askance.
It could not be anything the Warriors do or could have done. But, you know, he could just be annoyed with something or Steve Kerr or Steph or what, you know, who knows. But I think it's going to be good for a while. So roll with it. Yeah. Well, you got it. I mean, look, I'm down here in L.A. You know who's great right now? James Harden. James Harden is killing it down here for the Clippers. You think that's going to last? I mean, probably for a while. I don't think it'll end well.
There's that Stanford education on display here on 95.7 The Game. Ramona Shelburne, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
Think warm, think palm trees, think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.